Okay, we are starting Thursday night, the 19th of Adar, March 16th, 2017, at approximately 9:15 daylight savings time with, of course, the remnants of 8.5 inches of snow on the ground.
And just as a side note, this is the day where it's the equal amount of day and night. Sunrise and sunset was approximately 7:06. So it's an equal amount of time. It's the spring equinox. Just
there we go. And the spring equinox.
I'm still learning.
There we go. So, I wanted to discuss something interesting that has to do with Hutzah on Shabbos regarding clothing. Okay, we know that, of course, one of the Lamtes Malachos is Hutzah, but we also know that on Shabbos it is customary to go outside the house wearing begadim and wearing clothes. So how do we rectify that situation in terms of carrying and wearing things? So basically, there is a klal that's brought down in Masechta Shabbos, and the klal is, if something is a malbush or a tachshit, if it's either something which is worn, or it's like an adornment, like a jewelry type thing, like a ring or a watch or some glasses that people wear, so then it's mutar. If something is like a masui or a load, like somebody's walking outside with their knapsack, so that, of course, is not going to be allowed to be worn on Shabbos. You know, and if you go outside in an area without an eruv, so then you run the risk of being Mechalel Shabbos. Our Mishnah on Daf Chav Gimel happens to mention three different kulas that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had regarding Shabbos and Yontif, which the Chacham disagreed. And the first one was, Rabbi Elazar says, Paroso Yotza Beritzua Shebein Karneha, that his cow, the Gemara later on says it wasn't actually his cow, right? And interestingly enough, what the Gemara says, right? Because it says Paroso in the Mishnah, right? Which seems to be his cow, right? But interestingly enough, aside from that, that's the end of the Gemara. But I'm saying what the Gemara says, yeah, Paroso. The Gemara says, Paroso? What do you mean Paroso? It says, he would have 13,000 egels as his miser every year. So some of the Mepharshim are discussed whether this is actually a guzma or not, but still, he was a very wealthy man. And when the Gemara talks about him being appointed the Nasi in place of Rabban Gamliel, they said you don't have to worry about him, his money, because he says he was an usher. Well, here's the proof that he was an usher. So the question is, you know, paraso, what do you mean paraso? So right, as like I mentioned before, it wasn't his para, but rather it was his neighbor's para, and the Chachamim were so upset that he matered a situation like this that they called it his cow. What was the whole issue? So Rashi says is because Ritzua Shebein Karneha Linoi, that what they were putting this little ribbon around the horns of the bull for, you know, adornment, for, you know, to make it look nice. And the Chachamim felt from a Rabbanan Masuihu, the Eino Tachshit La. They felt it was a Masui and not a Tachshit. So you see, you come out from over here, that something which is a Masui is not allowed. Something which is a Tachshit is allowed. Zilberstein brings up a very interesting question, doesn't formulate it in the most politically correct way, as I'll read it, but the question is, what about a man wearing earrings on Shabbos in a situation where there's no Eruv? That's the question.
Well, how's the difference from a man wearing a watch on Shabbos?
Oh, so, we'll see for a second right now. Huh? That's right. See, I'll formulate it the way that Rav Zilberstein formulates it in his Sefer. Again, not the politically correct way. I won't translate it, but those who are familiar with the translation will see how unpolitically correct it is. She'ela, b'yameinu, yeshnam shotim, halovshim agilim. There are shotim, which we're not going to translate, who wear earrings. The over...
Well, I mean, back people wore nose rings back, you know.
Right, but that was back then. But this is talking about today. Biyomenu. The over mamasha kasuv b'torah lo yilbash gever kli isha. That a person is not allowed to wear the begadim of a woman. So aside from the fact that... Okay, everybody listen to this one. Aside from the fact that, you know, you put on an earring and you're over on this lav, yesh l'stapik, there is the following suffix. Gever hayotzei merishus l'rishus b'shabes kishu lovush ba'agilim. If a guy walks out from his house wearing his earrings, he forgets to take off his earrings before he goes to shul, and he comes out and walks out without the eruv, ha'im over gam al iser hotza, b'nosaf l'iser so shalo yilbash. is he also over on Hotzah? Because here's the thing. Basically, what does the Shaila come down to? The Shaila comes down to the following point. Do we say once, right? An earring is definitely a tashit.
Right.
It's not going to be a masui unless, you know, you're wearing like a 10-carat diamond pulling down your ear, and then you got other problems, you know. You know, walk around Manhattan with a 10-carat diamond under your ear, right? Well, those here, right. So the question is right. So that's already considered to be now already a malbush or a tashit. But here's the thing. Here is the issue. Okay, the issue is because there is this isser of lo yilbash, does that isser lo yilbash, does that take it out of the category of a tashit? And once it takes it out of the category of a tashit, so then, l'chora, it would not be considered to be something which is allowed on Shabbos. So the Ran actually in Shabbos actually speaks about this. And the Ran says the following.
Sixth parak?
Ran in the sixth parak. Yes. In the beginning it says, Val pithverzo yeshmi sha'omer sha'achshav yetzi ha'ish afilu b'taba she'ein alav chosam. That the Ran in his time says you could even go out with the ring.
Right.
You're lucky without a... It doesn't have like a signet on it.
I didn't know the Ran had an iPhone.
It's amazing what, you know, they had in like medieval Spain, right? The afal gav the aminim be gemara, even though it says in the gemara, marula vichilu fein beish kolomer, the my mashu the masnis in the tabas ein alei achosam tachshit leisha. Okay. Nonetheless, kolomer the tabas sheyesh lom achosam tachshit hu, vish ein alav achosam masui. So it says what we're talking about over there. If it has a chosam, if it has a signet, it is a tachshit. And if not, it's a masui. Hani mili lefi doram shlo yu anashim regilin b'tabas she'ein alav chosam. That's talking about their generation where they didn't bring such a ring. Aval achshav she'nagu bo harei lehem tachshit. It's considered to be a tachshit. So what Rav Zilberstein does is he's going to take this ran, which says the following, that in a situation where people use it as a jewelry type of thing there, it's considered to be a tachshit and it's mutar on Shabbos. If it's a situation where people don't, then it's not. So, in our situation, where it's definitely not the accepted practice amongst, let's just say, the frum community for the men to be wearing earrings, I know in the non-Jewish world, it is somewhat more, but I'm sure in certain industries, you wouldn't have people walking around with an earring also, meaning probably some of the more art-type industries is definitely more acceptable, but maybe in the legal industry, I'm sure there are not too many lawyers walking into court wearing earrings. Could be wrong, but not necessarily that type of a situation like that.
What's the old clip tie issue?
If that's considered to be...
Right, no, in other words, it's not you. People use it as an ornament, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so if hypothetically, if you would use the earring as quote unquote as a clip tie as well, right? Well, one would think that you shouldn't be allowed.
So that's true, but you're missing the one point. The one point is though the isser part, meaning the fact that there's an isser of beged isha, and it hasn't gone to the point where it's not. Meaning, the Ran points out that rings have evolved. And there are plenty of, what's called, there are plenty of men rings and female rings also. So men rings are no longer considered to be begadish. That's right, begadisha. Begadisha, right. Begadish, right. Right? Earrings will have an eclipse that. So we'll come out from there that such a situation would be definitely problematic. Another interesting point is brought up by the Minchas Chinuch. The Zilberstein also quotes this. I can read it from the Sefer. I can read it from the modern version. But I guess I'll read it from the Sefer. The Sefer of the Minchas Chinuch brings up in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel speaks about the Chamisha Inuim of Yom Kippur, because that's the psukim which says Losasach Malacha on Yom Kippur. It's from the Musaf on Yom Kippur, and it says Kom Lacha Losasu. Actually, that's what it says over there, and it brings up the following situation: Im Noel Minal Haaser B'Yom Kippur Kigon Shel Or. Let's say a person puts on leather shoes on Yom Kippur. Chutz masha over iser d'ne'ilas sasandal. Aside from the fact that you're going to be over, now whether it's a de'oraisa or de'rabanan, that's subject to machlokas. We generally paskin that it's de'rabanan, but nonetheless, you're still going to be over ne'ilas sasandal. Im yetzi bo b'rushus harabim, if you're going to go out with your leather shoes on Yom Kippur, b'rushus harabim, chayev chatas, that's right. Why? De'lav malbush hu ela masui. It's not considered to be a beged. It's considered to be also a masoi, because again, once something is not allowed to be worn, it's already considered to be out of the status of a beged. And what's interesting is you bring these two examples. The earring would be more on a deoraisa type of level, as the beged isha, and the leather shoes on Yom Kippur, is according to most ways that it's understood, is a derabbanan, and nonetheless, that's what you end up having over there as well.
Wouldn't depend on place also as well. So let's talk about Africa for a second here. Mm-hmm. Right, where Africa, where you have many African nations, well, you will have the men that they would wear jewelry. You know, they will have the nose rings and the earrings there. So shouldn't Malcolm also play a role into this?
Local custom.
So that's what actually says over here, because there is this concept of Derech HaMotziim, and Derech HaMotziim is the way people normally go ahead and do it. So the truth is, again, it's because of the low tilbush. Now, if you happen to live in a place, and I'm not sure what the answer of the halacha would be, if you're in a situation where an earring is considered to be beged ish all the way through, like you're saying, right, then maybe we're not necessarily talking about that. But in a situation where we are talking about it, let's say in our contemporary society, in Western society, yeah, so maybe in a society like that where, you know, then maybe the shiloh wouldn't be coming up only because it's not considered to be...
Well, that's what you said at the beginning. Like, right. Lawyers would wear it, theoretically.
Right. Yeah, it would depend. Yeah.
It becomes a question of what do you define as the community group? Lawyers, for example, there was a time where there was a caste system. So lawyers were an identifiable group by their garb and everything else, and the tailors and so forth and so on. Or maybe what's kosher in Passaic isn't kosher in Teaneck.
Right, it could be. I mean, the issue is, right, we got to find something where, like, you know, I guess something like a beged isha like this, I don't know what would take it out of the geder of an earring being beged isha and making it into a beged ish. I mean, for example, necklaces... I know that there are people who wear them. A lot of people don't wear them.
Right.
But we're not going to necessarily consider it to be beged isha to the point where it's an issur daraisa to wear that. And the same thing with rings. There are a lot of people who wear rings and a lot of people who don't wear rings, say in our community. You go to other communities, most of the people wear it. I mean, it all depends. It also depends on your profession.
Shlomo has a ring that he wears to court.
Wears to court, right? People have like different, you know.
Yeah, because...
No, for obvious reasons.
In a boyish world, being married, not having a wedding ring...
I know people, what's it called? I remember when we were living in the Heights and there was a person who only wore his wedding ring in the morning when he went to work, and on Shabbos never wore it, and at night never wore it. He only put it on for that particular, you know, mm-hmm. when he went to work. Also, it was...
Anything tells people that
you should... Yeah, there's different, you know, it's definitely a safeguard for many, many areas.
You've been having a minion at 9:30 or
should we're going to, you know, we're going to call out a minion.
So, what comes out over here is interesting is in terms of this Shiloh. And happens to be a nafkamina, interestingly enough. Let's say you had to go ahead and send a shaliach somewhere for you. Now let's say to do something from Rishus HaYach, Rishus HaRabim, for a permissible thing. You know, let's say you need to get refuah from somebody. You have two guys. One guy's got an earring, one guy doesn't have the earring. Guess what Rizobersin says? He asks the guy who doesn't have the earring to go ahead and do it, because the guy with the earring is going to have that extra isser involved, and that would bring out the extra problem from this. So again, just to conclude, if it's out of the gather of Malbush, then you already have a problem of Hotza. Beged Isha would take it out of the gather of Malbush, and that's why we'd have a problem.